each yellow one?
Yeah.
These old muscles.
Welcome everyone to the CDRA meeting. Have a roll call.
All right, Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Rodney.
Here.
And Stanley, excuse me.
Okay, the whole reason we're having a special work session is to discuss a 10-year plan for the arena. So spend time on what?
Okay, start off, what I'd like to do is just give you a quick overview. The Morgan Heritage area in our community kind of approved by the Secretary of Interior.
Hey, Mark.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm 6 feet.
That's right.
Now I'm saying 3 feet, I'm fine.
We'll be long, we can kiss each other.
Anyway, we talked about the Black Hawk Arena, the Contoy Equestrian, Keon Peterson Equestrian Center, it wasn't called that then when we did the Vantage Plan. The Little Paint, which we talk about how we support these. So I thought we could do to get a better comparable of where we stand is to get some data from you, for you, from Salina. I didn't know how Salina operated theirs, but I was quite surprised. For example, like us, the facility is owned by the building authority. But in our case, the building authority leases it to the city. And we lease it to you for the $48,000 that we turn around and make the bond payment on, and that is it. Salina puts those through the building authority direction. But it's still compared apples to apples. For example, you'll see this is how they get their revenue. This was quite interesting. You'll see that they dedicate 25% of their sales tax toward the Black Hawk Arena, $122,000 total. You see also that they, I don't know, I asked what that county contract was. That's line item 3020. And they told me that's money they receive from the county to help support it. So evidently the county's giving them 40. Then you go down to see that they're taking in about, they budgeted $146,030 for the events and rental of the arena. And then they go on down to the various forms of revenue. So, but you can see basically that the situation is they're getting a chunk of change from the sales tax, then they're also getting $40,000 from the county. Now Jack is here, so Jack will confirm as I ask these questions that we're getting nothing from the county.
Right.
We're getting nothing from the county to warrant this, and we get no sales taxes. Now, if you look at the expense side of the ledger, when they talk about expenditures, there's some discrepancies, and so we couldn't reconcile them because they told me it's because they were making some adjustments between the 2020 budget and the 21 budget. So that's why you have the other sheet. The other sheet that I handed out to you will show what they pay their manager. The manager of Salina, the arena director, gets a base pay of $74,336.28, and the benefit package is $43,708. For a total of $118,044.56. By comparison, we pay $30,600. We pay $15,300 a year to Gale Inn for doing all the scheduling and booking, and then the Jack. So they each get $15,003. So rather than paying out $118,044.56 gross, we pay out $30,600. So, as Bo pointed out in our previous meeting, the question is, how do we make this work for the future? Now, what I'm recommending to this work session board, and I emphasize the fact that Jack has never asked for anything, I'm going to recommend you consider a change in that $30,600. But before I do that, I'd like to explain one other thing. Early on, the $30,600 would have been paid on a 1099, the White Peak Ranch. They were independent contractors. Now our position was they were indeed under IRS guidelines independent contractors because we don't direct the day-to-day activities of them. So therefore, we meet the IRS threshold that they're independent contractors rather than employees. However, we ran into a problem with lawsuits, you recall that, right? Because of the lawsuits that have been filed down there, they had no protection. So the decision was made to make them W-4 employees. And so, Gayman is employed by the city for $15,300 a year, paid out of the recreation department. Jack receives a salary of $15,300 a year out of the recreation department. So again, to recap, they're no longer independent contractors. They are on the payroll, so they get no benefit package. They don't get insurance, they don't get retirement or anything. They do get, again, $15,300 each as a base salary with no benefit package. They take care of their own insurance. We don't have any retirement. So that's why when you compare it with Salina, you'll see they got a benefit package in there, $43,708. Our benefit package is nothing. And so over on this side of the equation, ours would say $30,600, less than half of that. And then there'll be no benefit package. Does that make sense? Now, if Jack and I agree that if it wasn't for the lawsuits, they would much rather be independent contractors under White Peak Ranch, because at least at that time, the money went through your corporation, right? Mm-hmm. And made it more where he could use his own equipment, etc. So, okay, so where we're at now then is, we got comparison analysis here for a comparative analysis we look at. And what we're at right now is the main issue before us, because Jack's never asked for any increase. I'm going to propose one. But they've never asked for anything above the $30,600. What they're concerned about is expenses he incurs with equipment and so forth. So I'm going to have you explain how you in the past have used your old truck and your tractors and stuff and why you've done that.
Because I hate to walk.
Okay. And you got a horse.
I have several.
Okay, in the past.
Well, told for the future. I use my own pickup. You guys buy the gas. And I've actually got oil from the city shop and changed the oil on it maybe twice. It leaks more than I have to worry about changing it. Several times a year I use my small Kubota tractor down at the arena. Several times a year I have both of my tractors down there at the arena for our big events. High school rodeo, our eventing shows, we can run the wheels off of three tractors for 3 days. I've not charged anything for those. And like I said in the meeting the other day, I will stop at the gas station and fill up the fuel tanks on my way home. So I do get a full tank of fuel, depending on how much I had in when I brought here, or when I brought him here. What brought all this up? And Mayor, I'm not beating a dead horse. Don't get me wrong here. But
he's not that ground. Go ahead.
But I burned, I had a chop saw. And I've used it for 9 years. At the arena, I have another one that I use at home. That's on stands, and I have other stands to cut long pipe and stuff. So the other day I'm cutting drill pipe. It's hard to cut. Burn up my saw. Smoke, sparks.
You're supposed to change the blade in
them. I'm sorry, what?
You're supposed to change the blade once in a while. So
you don't want to really? So when you get down to the little pliers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll cover again.
In fact, a guy told me that to use a, one of my friends said use a, they have a saw, a blade that looks like a wood saw blade.
Yeah,
only
they
use
do.
For that
steel.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He said, but they're really, really, really expensive and they're really, really vulnerable to destruction. And so So anyway, so I burned my saw up, and I was going to get another one. The mayor and I had a discussion about it, and I was a little ticked off over the whole thing because I burned the saw up, and I'm going to tell him the statement. The mayor said, well, how can we know that someone did bring down a worn out piece of crap, skill saw or whatever, and go to cut something and say, oh, I just burned it up on the city job, I have to get a new one.
And well, fairness, he was talking in general, not about
you can say that, but he was talking to me, and I didn't think that was very general. And it kind of upset me, because just because. All right, so then I had to park my blue truck because the clutch went out. And I had a telephone conversation with the mayor, with Nwati, and Dave Oxman.
He's sick.
And his brother, he's sick. North West is fishing. And so I was on a speakerphone, and we were talking about getting my clutch fixed, and I said, I'm parking the truck because I won't go anymore. And they said, go ahead and get it fixed. And I said, it's $1,000. I said, go ahead, get it fixed. We're going to cover it. And Monty said that. I didn't hear anybody vote or anything. I wasn't there. Couldn't see their eyes.
It was my responsibility. I'll explain it in a minute.
Okay. And so that become an issue. A truck that I've been using for 9 years, that become an issue. Well, we can't do it because the auditors will get us or something. I don't know what it was. So then, the third one, and this is all in a month. Quinn Larson. We all know Quinn. Quinn is an extremely good helper. He comes down, and between the three of us, we can knock out 20 stalls in no time at all, cleaning them. And so I have paid him out of my own pocket because I was told by Coulter that it screws up his
disability.
Thank you. His disability. So I did that. So I paid him $130 for his 10 hours or 13 hours. Sorry. I did that before, didn't I, Gene? Sorry. He worked 13 hours, I paid him $130. Well, I can't get that reimbursed because of some reason or another. But I've done it before and got reimbursed. So all of these things kind of all at once. And I said, you know what? This is getting to the point where it's not even fun anymore. And like Mom said, I have never, not one time, have I ever asked for a raise. Not one time. Okay. And we have brought the arena, and I almost feel like I'm bragging, but I don't want to do that. We brought the arena from a barrel racing arena for a certain group of people to an arena, and I can show you in my book here that we're booked solid until July every weekend, plus the things that we do during the week. We've got a couple of things that are, oh, I'll give you an example. Scott Brotherson comes to me on Saturday and he said, why don't we get some lasers to set the poles up? We have them for the barrels. Save us so much time, so much effort, we have lasers. And I said, well, they're $600. I said, you come up with the $600 and we'll do it. 20 minutes later, he come back to me, had $600. And he donated two, and Paul Beckstead donated two, and Jason Wardle. He donated too. And I said, that's fine, we'll get the city to donate the labor to put them up there. So another big thing that we're really having an issue with is covering the warm-up arena down there. And it's expensive. I think the bid's $241,000.
That's correct.
Extremely expensive. But we need it. And like one of the guys said Saturday, if you're going to keep progressing, you got to make some improvements. I got a bid from CO Buildings. Well, it was actually through Kai over the building and the labor to put it up. That was a $241,000. I got a bid from Clearspan, you know, for the fabric buildings, $210,000. And I said to the guy I was talking to on the phone, I said, that can't be right. I said, we could do a building, a metal building for almost that much. So that's what it'll cost you. So anyway, that's one. That's just one of the improvements, plus the other stuff that we talked about earlier today that we need to do down there. And, you know, it gets pretty discouraging. We were down there busting our butts trying to get all the stalls for people. People come in, and the boarders that have horses there all the time, I said, okay, you got to close your pens down so we only use them one. Because they like to open them up, so they got two or three, you know, for their horses all the time, which is okay. And so they did, and Galen got screwed up on, we've got so many things going right now. We got a high school rodeo coming up, and we've got people calling for that. We've got a rope in 2 weeks. People are calling for that, for stalls. And so she put these people, instead for the little britches last weekend, she put them for the high school rodeo, because mm-hmm. they just said for the rodeo. So we hurried and moved three of the boarders out and closed the stalls up. The other night, cleaned them up really fast, and we got them in there. So we're doing really good, and this lady comes in. She's leading the horse. She says, as she walks by, how's the dirt in the arena? And I said, I think it's good. And she said, this is the scariest place in the world to run a horse. And I said, whoa, stop. She walked by me at this point. So she stopped, didn't turn around, looked, she just stopped, pulled her horse. And I said, explain that to me. She said, this is the scariest arena that we go to. And I said, you know what you need to do, ma'am? You need to turn around, lead your horses out, load them in the trailer, and go home. And she said, well, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, what if one of your expensive horses get hurt? She says, well, that's you. And I said, well, okay. So anyway, I made it scary. What's that?
You didn't share the opinion that it was scary, did you?
Well, heavens no, it's not.
Well, so what made her think it was scary?
She's a barrel racer. Probably a third generation, I don't know. So those are just some of the stuff that we've nothing pressing. Because I do like to fill the barrel racers' horses, their horse trailers, clear full of water with the water truck. Yeah. With their horses in it. Oh my goodness.
You can't quote it in the paper.
And so that was just one of the other accusations. So anyway, we're doing really good down there. At least I think we are. And we've got to have some improvements. How we're going to do it, I'm not absolutely certain. Paul Beckstead suggested that we up the cost. We charge $250 for the use of the arena for 1 day. Now, if it's a World Series, like we're having in 2 weeks, we have to go down, we put an alleyway in, Gavin and I set it up. Takes us several hours to do it. We use our panels, our gates, and we charge them $250. It's not enough. And so we're thinking of upping our fees. And as soon as we do that, people are gonna scream bloody murder. But our stalls, we charge $25 a night during an event. Black Hawk is $35. I had a lady tell me the other day that's in charge of the Little Bridges Rodeo. She said, I know you hate to hear this, but down at the Black Hawk, they do this, this, and this. Well, she had the audacity to finish up early on Sunday and then sub-rent the arena to another group to come in and use the arena because they had it till midnight that night. They could do anything they want. I said, no, you can't do anything you want. So anyway, things are going pretty dang good. We absorb all of the complaints and stuff, and you expect those. But to get a building built over that warm-up arena would be a fantastic thing. How are we going to do it? I don't have any idea. Paul suggests we do some fundraisers. I said, geez, Paul, I'll be an old man before we get $250,000. And he said, yeah, so am I.
Well, he doesn't even know. We put $3.1 million into it already, frankly.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. But those are just some of the things. And I thought it was real good when Scott Gutterson said, well, we need these lasers. I said, well, $600. I don't know, I'll probably get in trouble with the city. And he says, I said, you guys do it. Come back to me in 20 minutes. He had it done, had the checks in his hand. And I thought that was pretty dang good. So anyway, that's where we're at. Any questions, any suggestions? Oh, I wanted to tell you this part. During, not this last little bridges, but the one before, I called Monty because I was getting a million complaints because there was no place to put the horses with this weather the way it's been. And so I called Monty and I said, come down. I want to show you something. And they said, well, okay. So he did it. Come right down. So I took him down in front of the bleachers and down to the west end. I said, just keep following me. So we're weaving in and out of horses, butt to butt, walking through them like this. Kids walking around, horses moving around. Monty, I kept saying, come on, it's going to be okay. Keep following me. So he weaved through all the horses. We got out and looked at our warm-up arena, and our overflow area is a mud hole. And it's frankly quite a dangerous situation. We might get lucky and have absolutely nothing happen. But one of these days we're going to get unlucky. One of those kids is going to get kicked. One of them is going to get hurt. The barrel race, we had some paddles stacked against the wall. One of the little girls tied her horse to one of the paddles that are just leaned up against the other paddles. The horse hung back. The paddle come with him. He freaked out and goes mowing through 20 other horses and horses and children and stuff were going everywhere. And we had a tie actually with a hay string. And just waltz through that hay string. And those are just some of the things that could happen. We don't want that stuff to go on. But it's still a money issue, and I understand that. Questions?
I'd like to pick up a couple points.
This warm-up arena, would it have walls? Or just,
what's that?
Is that just a roof, or are they going to have
no,
walls?
No, it's going to have walls. It's got to have walls.
Yeah.
Because we can't keep the weather out.
So I just did a quick calculation of $250,000 for 2.5% rate at 25 years is about $13,600 a year to pay a loan to do something like that.
Yeah. I'll comment on that if I could for a second. First of all, Kevin, you know that I'm not a fan of horses. I hate the horses. The problem down there is that this time of year is really muddy. And so they're out there in that warm-up arena where you come in from the west. And because it's muddy and that, they all bring the horses inside, and then they're really congested. So we do need to do something about that. And we're looking right now on a grant for a $300,000 project to add 40 more stalls, 25 more hookups, and to do a $175,000 for a restroom shower facility. Mm-hmm. Once we got that out of the way, I think we know a way, and he just needed the part of it through a grant package with the Edmonds. We think we can get it that building. Okay, we think it's realistic. What I'd like to, I think we can do capital improvements. I think I know how we can do that. What I think I'd like to see you address is the ongoing maintenance issue he's talking about, and equipment. So if you go for a second to their budget, go down to where it says item line item 4029, operation and maintenance. And you'll see some discrepancies. You'll see the action was in 2018 was 191,526. Mm-hmm. Then we go to 123, and I asked him about that. I said, we're adjusting those figures, but on the average, operation and maintenance comes in somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 a year. So I asked him this. I said, do you share trucks and tractors and stuff like that with the Public Works Department? They said, no, we cannot use any of the Public Works equipment. I said, do you own a truck that you provide to the manager? Do you own a tractor? Do you own tools? And she said, we lease or rent everything. We tell them we lease stuff. So, what I'd like you to address here, and keep in mind, trust us to move forward with the capital improvements. The 241, we'll look at the long term. What I'd like you to focus on, if you would, is the ongoing issues of how to run this and to make it feasible in terms of equipment. There's two ways you can address it. One of them is you can provide him with an allowance you brought up to use his own equipment, or you could simply lease the equipment. Now, I asked Jack, I said, if you were to lease a tractor, I said, first of all, what about the tractor that's on the groomer? He said, well, it's too big to go do the stalls. Now, you recall the groomer, when we bought that, the Eccles Foundation kicked in $3,500 and the Heritage area kicked in $3,500. We bought that groomer for $7,000. And by the way, let me deviate for a minute. On that $1,000 he's talking about for the clutch, yes, we did say we would do it. Mike was under the assumption, rightfully so, that I was going to get a grant. So what the Warren Heritage area did, we had the money, we kept him a check for $1,000 to cover the clutch. Because there was no way that Dave Oxman, your finance director, could run it through. There was no way that he could show that he felt would satisfy the auditor. So the simplest thing to do is for us to give him the grant, which we did. So that's been covered. Now, the question before us then is, how do you want to handle truck expenses? How do you want to handle tool expenses? And how do you want to handle tractor expenses? Bo had a good idea that Mike concurred with at the last meeting, that Jack would come up with some kind of a schedule of how much he thinks it would be on a depreciation schedule to use his equipment versus renting it. Would you like to address that? Did you get time to do that yet?
No, I'm sorry, I have not done that. But I can tell you, I called Hermanson's, and for my tractor that we use over here a lot is a Kubota 60 horse tractor. To rent a 30-horse tractor from Hermanson's, it is $175 a day and $100 to pick it up, or to deliver it and pick it up. And yeah, I could go get it, and it would cost me probably 3 hours by the time I made the run over and then took the tractor back. And that's the reason why I have used my stuff. I haven't complained about it until now. And I haven't had any qualms about taking my welder or my tractors or my pickup. I haven't had any qualms about it. But lately it's just kind of piled up and here we are.
So I have a question as far as the question to the, I don't know who you was talking to, it's Lina, the manager there, who was you talking to?
I was talking to the...
How much later?
I mean, I was talking.
So, does the city own the Blackhawk Arena? They do, right?
We used to think the county owned. The city owns it. The building, the local building authority, the Slider City owns it. This is the budget to run it.
So, why do they choose not to share any resources or anything with the pub, with the city staff?
They thought it was more cost effective and simpler to be able to do cost accounting, to basically be able to attribute everything they did to that, and it was too difficult to share. He's ran into some of that.
I can tell you, I mean, there's been several occasions, I need a loader down here. Well, we might need it. I mean, what does that mean, you might need it? Well, we might need it. I said, well, I do need it. And well, you know, let's see, and it's just, you know what, frankly, I get sick of begging. And it's a lot easier for me to use some of my stuff rather than
go that way.
Have to fight, you know, what we have. But we have the case loader, we have talked with Paul Madsen's help, we've talked him into just parking that down in the arena. Because if they need it, it's just as close there, if not closer, than it is up in the yard. And we take care of it, we fuel it, we do what has to be done. And we also have the old international dump truck. And we've been warned not to take it out on the highways or on the streets. And we don't. But like right now, it's full of branches and stuff that we've trimmed off the trees. And so we have access to those two things now. And we use the loader quite a bit, but if anybody else needs it, including the water truck, they call and say, you're using it? Nope, we're not using it. Come and get it.
How often does that happen?
Does someone else use it? Oh, probably 3 or 4 times a month is all. Because like I say, it's parked most of the time anyway. Just what we park down here. And we use it every other day. Pushing up piles of manure, grading the parking lot, pushing snow. We actually use it quite a bit.
Now, what goal of Mike suggested in the last meeting, and Jack's been too busy to do that, he'll get to it. We get a list of all the equipment, everything he has been using, and we have him put a value, remember, on what that would cost. Now, I said I thought Kevin Daniels would agree this would be perfectly legal. If you have that, you enter into a contract or memorandum of agreement that you've quantified the value of that, and for X number, for X amount of dollars per year to be paid monthly or quarterly, whatever, you would reimburse him for using his own equipment as compared to going down to some outsourcing it out. And that's where we left it off, as I recall.
Well, the thing that I thought about is he's going to use that tractor of his one day, maybe this week, where if you go rent one, it might sit there for 2 or 3 days and you're paying rent on it. And if Jack would just keep track of the days that he uses his tractor, he uses his truck, or he uses whatever he uses on that day, and turn that in at the end of the month, I think we're going to come out a lot further ahead than we would going and renting and having something that sits there. We're not using it, but we might need it tomorrow. We might need it tomorrow morning, but then we turn up, well, we don't need it tomorrow morning.
Now, as I recall, Jack, shouldn't you do a list of all your equipment?
And that tractor sitting there, we're paying rent.
We'll see how often you think you use.
Yeah, I can do that. Just last weekend, I had my tractor there for 3 days. If we had rented one from Hermanson's, it would have cost $525 for the weekend. How much did it cost us using mine? Nothing. I forgot to even stop and fill it up with fuel from another trip.
Well, and that's another thing, me. I went, okay, so if this was you, Bo, would you take your truck, your tractors, and everything, and his welder, and everything else, his chop saw, and go out there and do it for 9 years? For nothing?
Kevin would. I've seen you do it.
Well, but it gets old. Jack was willing to do that for a lot of years to get the place off the ground.
Yeah.
And
I think he needs to be rewarded for that.
Well, he does. But there's a lot of people that donate their resources.
Well, we do. You do donate.
You're donating your time right now.
There's a difference, right? There's an old saying that I got. There's a difference in scratching your butt and tearing hair.
There's not anything Kevin does.
That's not what I
want to talk about. The difference is this is Jack's down there on a day-to-day operation.
7 days a week.
Yeah.
Kevin, don't you think, based on your experience with the outbuilding, that this is a logical thing to do? He lists all the equipment that he uses. Then we decide what the value of that is. Then you have a contract with him to get you reimbursed.
Yeah, it's a way to do it. It becomes trying to keep track of it and all that kind of stuff is an extra burden, but it would be worth it to you.
It's all it's going to be is more or less an estimate. Just like last weekend, we took it down there Friday. I took it down Friday morning. I hauled it back Sunday night. And we probably used it, I don't know, I guess, probably 6 solid hours.
Yeah.
Is all we used it. But, like Bull said, if we'd have rented one, they don't do it on an hourly basis. They do it on a daily basis.
Right.
Yeah. I thought what he was going to do is going to annualize it. He lists all this stuff. He says, here's what I think is...
Well, that would be an easier way to do it.
Yeah, annualize it. This is what I think is a fair amount that I would be paid to use all this stuff on an annual basis, and then we could pay him in increments.
So that point, what's that? Is that more of a budgetary number or is it actual agreement at that point.
I think, talking to Dave Boxman, the cleanest way to do it was we'd have, we'd have the data and information, Father would never challenge it, we'd have a memorandum agreement or a contract would say, this is the estimated value, this is the value we determine, fair market value, to use all this stuff on an annual basis, and this is what we're gonna pay.
Okay, so he wouldn't necessarily have to keep track then of that?
That would be the whole key, it'd be impossible.
Right, well, that's what I was concerned about, is trying to track it.
Yeah.
So we're a yearly cost.
That becomes a nightmare, trying to track individual.
Like the mayor said yesterday, when you hit the city limits, then your pickup start checking mileage.
But couldn't you look at that year after year and kind of see, okay, this is a...
Sure, that's the key, this is about everything he's got, here's the estimate, here's the value of this on an annual basis. Then you analyze the estimate, fair to me, then you have a cost.
So would that be an annual contract then, or how?
Annual contract.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure somebody that's donated for 9 years is probably gonna come in way under on the estimate.
Well, I'm not saying, that's what I'm worried about, I'm just...
I know.
There just needs to be a check and balance for both parties, and I'm not...
Oh, I know.
I'm trying to come up with something, and if you guys think it's unfair...
That's the last thing I'm worried about. I think it's the last thing.
Well, I know how long it takes to...
Well, I can haul a tractor in there.
I mean, that's an old age, by the time you load one up, take it somewhere, you just killed a half a day just in transportation.
That's for us. That's why I accused you on what they call mobilization.
Yeah, mobilization is a killer.
But I don't think it'd be that...
It is across the tractor, it's all the accessories.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It isn't just the tractor, it's all the accessories that go with it, you know?
But like Bill said, he did that for 9 years. I think he could do a real fair analysis and say, here's a list of everything I use, and here's what I think the value is of this on an annual basis.
But with the capital improvements going on, that's subject to change a little bit from year to year, because there's more...
The contract could say that it was based on certain variables, and it could be amended for...
Well, you'd have to look at it every year.
Right.
And update it.
Well, you know, and here's something for you to think about too. When we started this little project down here, Galen and I, there was a lot to do. It was day in, day out, fixing the pens, hauling in gravel. I mean, it was a wreck. I will admit now, it's pretty smooth going. Whoever takes my place, and I said, I want to sit in on the interview, and the mayor's going to interview this guy to take my place. He'll say, okay, it's a 7-day week. You remember when you told me when I started this, you said, this is not a 5-day-a-week thing, this is every day, and you were 100% right.
Well, that's what I felt bad about, because it was a commitment that you didn't mind doing it.
And I feel pretty bad about it now.
I always thought you were a little smarter than that.
Okay, so the mayor's interviewing this guy, and he says, okay, this is 7 days a week. And on the weekends, it's all day Friday. I left the arena Friday night at 1 a.m. and was back there the next morning at 7:30 a.m. And so it's every weekend, it's 7 days a week. Now, what we want you to do is we want you to provide a pickup truck. And we want you to provide a flatbed trailer. We want you to provide at least one tractor, hopefully two. We want you to provide a portable welder. We want you to provide all the power tools and all the hand tools. And for this, we're going to pay you $15,000 a year. I'll be excited to see the guy that takes the job.
Well, that's my point.
Well, that does raise a good point, too.
I mean, I don't know how long you're going to plan on doing this.
A year and a half.
That's
there it. You go.
Well, you got a year and a half to solicit your partners now.
Well, so that's what I mean. What do we do long term?
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you do long term?
Yeah,
because those people that you hire to take my place...
They're not going to have the equipment.
No, they're not. And they're not going to be willing to use it, even if they have it. So that's a good point, Justin. I really never thought about it that way, other than I just want to sit in on the interview.
No, my answer to that is, and it's highly unlikely, but Kevin alluded to it. Kevin alluded to it. The only way you could possibly pull this off without spending a minimum of $118,000 a year for a manager and another $150,000 a year for equipment. You put those two figures together, you take that 118 and 150, you're up to $340,000 a year. And so, your folks...
Excuse me, one second. If you're willing to pay $340,000 a year, I'll stay more than a year now.
Well, you don't want to go. I'm just looking at the data. If you're paying somebody 118, and when they say it's an average of 150, that's six, I'm sorry, I apologize. There's only $268,000.
I'm sorry, Jeff. That this discussion makes it really sound like we're taking advantage of you.
But I don't know if you can ever be able to replace it. But it's possible that there'd be somebody else who loves horses who's willing to step in with a similar situation. I would recommend, though, that we at least bring that up to 22,000, because you have two people. Because she, and by the way, I've still not worked this out. It's possible that somebody else does the booking and the manager, the manager director doesn't do it.
So that could be an additional cost.
Yeah, above and beyond what Scott's getting. I don't know, I'm going to find that out for you. Well, I'm suggesting that we consider boosting that up to $22,500 for each of them for a total of $45,000 a year as a starter. You consider that. And he hasn't asked for it, but that would make it a bit more palatable and set us on a path that if somebody else comes in, we're at least a little bit more competitive down the road.
I don't think we can take that scenario for granted, though.
Well, you can. It's possible you can find somebody else who would come in and do it as a labor of love.
Possible, but...
It's too much labor, not enough love.
I love it. Well, it's point well taken, because you are looking here at probably a $268,000 a year package for operations and salaries.
Do you mean you can't sustain that?
I know.
Okay. Well, plus you've got the debt service on top of that and everything else.
Well, look at theirs. How do they do theirs? They take a hundred. Do you think right now? I'll be candid with you. When we did this, we got a lot of criticism. Kevin knows this. I don't have to keep bothering with the figures on this, but you know very well how we did this. We got a $565,000 grant to build it. Then the Contoy Foundation kicked in a $125,000 grant, and the Eccles has given us $345,000. That was grants. And then we get a revenue bond for $1 million a year over 30 years. With that revenue bond at 2.5% interest, the debt retirement was $48,000 a year. The Wasatch pays $20,000 a year to use it for the equestrian program. That's how we pulled it off. Okay? Now, that's the thing that made it sustainable. Because I remember going to the CIB board and talking to Mike Middlevich, who was the county commissioner from Carbon County. He said, "Mom, we got one of those things up here. I hope you guys have got a lot of money to run this."
Well, the increment was in place at that time, too.
Yeah, and we also have a tax increment in place that we were using. But now, having said all that, the fact of the matter is, the people that came to the meeting said, "I want to make sure you don't use any of my tax dollars for that horse palace."
Yeah.
Am I right, Justin? And we said, "We're not using taxpayer dollars to build it." I gave them the same figures I just gave you. That's how we did it. Now, the ongoing, we went through five different managers, but the ongoing management, you're absolutely right. We've been exploiting Jack and Galen for 9 years.
I didn't say that.
I like the word taking the edge of a little better.
Okay.
I would have gone word exploring.
Good thing I don't know what it means.
Sounds bad.
I'll tell you how I
give it a bad job.
I learned that a long time ago when I was adjunct faculty at the Y. There was a dean, his name was Gordon Hickman. And he said, you know, it's hard for us to have competitive salaries at BYU because we get a psychic income. And I said, what do you mean by psychic income? He said, well, it's a calling. And he said, what happens at BYU is you get all these retired military guys who are willing to come here and work for way below the standard deal. So as long as we can exploit those guys,
yeah,
we can keep the salaries low. That's all I was trying to say. But now, having said that, Justin, we have to look down the road. Because it looks to me like, based upon the maybe attitudes have changed. My guess is if you tried to take $122,000 a year out of sales tax revenue that you get in the city and put it down at the arena, what do you think the reaction would be? I'm not saying you should do it, but I'm just trying to say how they do it.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing.
Exactly.
Just operating it.
Here's the other thing, and the county's donated substantially to it too.
Yeah. So off the top, you've got $162,000 that's come in from sales tax and the county contract, right? We don't have that.
Right.
Anyway, you don't have to solve all these problems tonight, but immediately, I think, for the next 18 months or how long he's willing to do it, we can at least come up with a contract to reimburse for using his equipment if you decide to want to go that route, and also consider boosting that up to $22,500 retail for a total of $45,000.
Mark, what do their numbers look like? According to their numbers, they're basically, and that's probably what
I asked Dave drives. How we could stack up against their budget of $146,000 in events and rental of arena, and he said we're probably, he said right now, looks at this year, we're going to be at around 100,000, am I correct? They're making 146,000 from events and rental. I asked Dave where we're at, he said maybe 100,000.
Oh, I would say at least that, yeah.
Yeah, he said probably 100,000.
Well, I'm just looking, there's the way they do theirs, they basically break even every year. Based on the contributions that are made by the taxes and the county deal.
The reason they force the budget at the end. That's why they use so lower figures, because like us, they have to balance the budget. They can't deficit spend.
Yeah.
Not the federal government. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, do we balance the figures every year?
Yeah, we balance them every year too.
Do we?
Except for all the enterprise funds.
Except the enterprise funds, that's correct. But notice here, like you say, you're getting sales tax here, revenue, and you're getting the $40,000, you got a pretty good chunk of it right there, right? But it seems to me, like Justin's alluded to, you got short term and long term. Right now, the short term is how we deal over the next 18 months or how long they're willing to stay on the equipment. I think that's our number one issue to deal with. Do I see a consensus here that you're willing to have him put together that schedule like you suggested and bring it back to you? Okay, we'll do it.
Well, I think that's a bargain.
Well, that's a starting point. Then we need to figure out how to cover those costs.
Exactly.
That he brings in.
When I have that, then I've already talked to Ox, and we'll sit down and put together a budget and say, okay, here's where we stand. Now, I don't want to go here, but I suggested to Dave that we do it for the whole recreation park so we can get a fair look. I'd like to see, for example, and he said, well, it's a big, we have to take a lot out of the general fund to pick up on that.
It's 300,000. Huh? We're in the whole 300,000 on the recreational program so far this year.
Yeah, see, that's what we're saying. See, and the key, if you compare this as a recreation outlet with the others, there's no comparison, right, Michael?
As far as what?
In terms of being able to bring in enough fees because your salaries in that are lower, your benefit package is lower.
This year so far, the arena is worse than Stephanie's program. The pool's really in a hole because the tractor hit your expenses this year.
So say the capital improvement expenses.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm talking about operations.
Yeah. He just printed out a whole thing for me. I wish I'd brought
it. He's talking about the tractor that was bought.
So the tractor hit your expenses this year all at once.
So what's $300,000 in the hole?
As a rec program.
The whole rec.
As a whole rec.
Whole rec program. Oh, the whole rec, sorry.
The whole rec.
It's not operations that's putting you at that point. It's because you have a big outlay. You have a big expense on the track.
So Stephanie's program is doing the best so far this year. And I wish I'd brought that over.
We supposed to have that for tonight, but he couldn't be here.
Well, I had it, but it's across the street and I forgot to bring it.
But all you say to me, what he told me was it was the outlay of expenses to purchase the tractor through that contributed to his figure being
more than normal. Yes.
Well, why couldn't we? We don't do no tax increment for our recreation, do we? We don't receive any, like they got a 0.25% goes to recreation.
Okay, what they did on that. It's kind of like your tax meters passed. What they did, local government, you have a transit room tax that goes to the county. Right. The cities can add 1% to that, and that's what they did. They went ahead and did a 1%, you call it enhancement, and that's what that one is. That's a 1% tax the city passed.
Is that just on the transient? The room taxes?
Yeah.
So that's not total sales tax then?
No.
So I just have to go on the ballot to do that?
Yeah, they put it on the ballot.
Didn't they vote it in similar to our gas tax?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is it similar to what we did for our transportation when we did our gas tax? I'm not talking about the energy tax you did for the pool.
Yeah, not the park tax.
It's our original gas tax.
Yeah.
Not the 0.25.
You're talking about the
utility
tax.
But see, that's
the gasoline tax.
See, that's a good point. He actually makes a good point because I had wrote to myself, I got to call the treasurer and say, please clarify if that sales tax revenue is actually a 0.25 gas tax you passed. Because you and I, remember we discussed that in our meeting? I said, this is ambiguous. That implies, and she did tell me we're taking a sales tax. But then when you brought that up in that meeting, I said to myself, I better follow up and make sure that's not a transportation tax. You
know, but how could they use that for this?
Pardon me?
How could they use that 0.25 to?
I don't think they could, but he raised the issue. I was going to check it. This appears to me that they take 25, this appears to me to be regular sales tax revenue they generate.
Yeah, because those are the gas taxes, restricted funds.
That right. Has to go to the roads.
They'll have to be used for the roads. They would. But he was using it as a comparison.
Yeah, but they've done something like it there at the city level.
Whatever it's called or however they did it, I guess you'd have to ask.
They told me it was a 1% on the transit room tax, and I'll verify that. So I guess that's where you're at. I don't know if you're making a decision no matter what, but I think the two needed issues are get the list together and see what would be a fair annual compensation of use of the equipment. And the other is to see if you want to consider boosting that up to $20,000 to $45,000 as compared to $30,600.
I hate to complain to them, but I gotta go. Sorry. The shooters are.
Oh, it's been
shooters are shooting. The shooters are shooting tonight.
Oh, cool.
Are they shooting other than the horses?
Yeah. Yeah. Every other Tuesday.
Yeah. How many of them come down to do that?
8 or 10. Not a lot. Not that they fill the whole building full of smoke by the next morning.
Hey, Mike, I also asked Dave to get to me, and he didn't. He probably had it. I wanted him to see where. Let's see, they made our first bond payment in October 2010, so we're a third into the dip retirement schedule of 30 years, and he was going to get me the balance. I said, is the balance on that about 170,000? Do you know what the balance is on our...
I haven't seen that. I don't know what that was.
Well, anyway,
thanks.
You got any ideas or suggestions on how to run it better? Oh, no, I don't.
So do you have any other things you're looking forward to? like for the next 10 years? I mean, like, we're talking the warm-up pan.
You mean big expenditures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could give you a whole bunch of them that we could use. We could cover all of those outside
stalls.
Stalls. That'd be wonderful, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. There's no sense even trying to figure out how to come up with money because we'd be looking at $300,000 to do it.
Justin and I have a deadline that we're fighting hard to meet. Our internal deadline is Thursday. To submit is actually Friday. We got to get with our finance director to submit it. But again, we're asking for money to, as I mentioned in our last RDA meeting, to put in 40 more stalls, 25 more hookups, and then to make 60,000 improvements on those six trails. And then after that, we're looking at a way to get $240,000 to deal with this problem in the warm-up arena. That's what they mean. Those are two immediate things, right?
Yeah, those are two. And there's some lighting issues that we're trying to work out.
What's the arrangement we have with the eventing people? They have their eventing course down there.
Yeah, they pay $1 a year to lease the ground.
And do people, if they have a membership for the Contoy, that don't cover the...
No, it does not.
So how do you get to be able to use the eventing course?
To school on the eventing course, you have to be there with an accredited trainer, and it's $35 a horse per day.
So that's off limits to all of our people?
The jumps are. The trails, no. Yeah. They can go. We have a lot of people go right out on the trails. But I don't think anyone tries to do the jumps.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't.
No.
My horse thinks he's in a krill when I lead him up to those. we get that schooling money, Kevin. We get that money. They call it schooling. We get that, the $35 a horse. And they're pretty good about collecting it. The eventing people are our best
source of revenue.
A source of revenue. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What do you estimate you take in twice a year for them? Just rough on out.
Well, see, that hurt you last year, too, because you lost the one of that, too.
Well, yeah, we canceled one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably 25,000, probably.
That's what I thought.
Somewhere there in that neighborhood. And then they spend a lot of money here. I mean, they do not hesitate going to the hardware store and dumping a couple hundred bucks or... John Peel, he said, I can always tell when you're having a big event. He said, either a whole bunch of cowboy hats or a bunch of women in really tight pants. And he said, so I always know. I said, well, that's good. Yeah, I prefer the pants myself. Anyway, all right, thanks. Gene, I'll see you.
Second call for the paper.
Well, see you tomorrow for the garbage sacks.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
That's a place to call Suzanne Dean. That's who they are.
Motion to adjourn.
I tell you, go miss him out there.
What's that, Paul?
We're going to miss him out there when he's gone. Oh, yeah. That's really something I'm to look forward to. Yeah.
Well,
because that takes it, you know, the organization that he's already done out there and the contacts and everything.
The thing about Jack, he's got so many skills. He knows how to do all this stuff. How do you even find anybody that's got all the skills?
Well, it's like Justin said, it's going to cost us some money to replace him. We're getting a deal right now.
But my guess is a lot of this thing they show in operation and maintenance for averaging out $150,000 a year would be a lot more. That's probably stuff they do for, you know, fixing stuff that he fixes on his own. Does that make sense?
Well, if he's renting two or three tractors, so let's soon add up. It says training equipment, we pay for rent on the tractor we use.
Yeah.
You know, it would soon add up. He's renting.
Well, try to nail down, we'll get that list to you so you can look at that and see about annualizing that. And then give some thought to my proposal when you get boost that up to from 30,000 to 45.
Mark, do you feel like the general consensus of our administration and our citizens is that they feel like it's a worthwhile resource that we, the city, has?
Well, I shouldn't have been so sarcastic about when we first started, because when they called it the horse palace, but there was a set of people that did it that figured it was just a complete waste of money to do it. And my guess is, looking at the survey of the general plan, I think they have a very positive attitude
toward it. Yeah. That was what I was kind of concerned. I mean, I know what the feelings was in the beginning.
I think it's all been overcome. I think that was the situation. I do feel that it might be a tough sell for the governing body to start using sales tax revenue. I just feel that instinctively. I don't know how.
Absolutely, it would be, because when you stack that up to the other needs in the community, it's down here.
Yeah. If you prioritize
roads and other things like
that. Well, it would have to be an overall recreation. It couldn't be just for that. I mean, how much value do we put in our recreation in our community overall? I mean, we are the hub city for recreation.
Well, in North
Carolina. Well, I began. I began. When I started looking at this, I was surprised. Kevin, I always thought Sevier County owned that Black Hawk Arena. I didn't know the whole thing that was under the sole ownership of the Municipal Building Authority of Salina.
Yeah.
Because I know that's who owns ours, but we lease it back to the city. But again,
well, we made a competition too with the county. Early on, we had some support from the county leadership, but over time, that changed, and now we're in competition with what they've got down in Manti, and it's kind of hurt us, because they got what they need down there. They don't necessarily care to help support anything that we're doing here. But they don't look at it as a county
facility.
Yeah,
county. Yeah, when they had that master plan down there, they planned on building an indoor arena like ours. And I admit, and they were talking about getting the money from the Eccles Foundation, so I called Bob Graham and said, Bob, you put an indoor arena in Manti, in that master plan that's in there, and you have one up here, they're both going to fail. And I think I was right on that. So they pulled it out and said, well, we're not going to.
But why can't we somehow reach out to the county and say, let's work together on making these venues that for equestrian kind of work together and see if we, I don't know if that's a, if that's.
Well, when John Woodard was here, he and I sat down and ran the numbers. We looked at the bond payments. At that time, we thought one of the options we ought to consider down the road is to go to the county and say, hey, look, this serves the whole county. Mount Pleasant's name on that arena. Why don't we do this? Why don't we, there's just an idea we floated, why don't you take over the bond payment with the Community Impact Board, and you take it over and run it as part of the county operation, because you have a lot more money than the city does. That tire never went anywhere, but it's something you might want to put on the agenda. There's a possibility of getting some economy of scale by making this a county rather than a city.
Well, I'm just looking long term. I don't see how we're going to be able to sustain that kind of demand to do that and to run that facility the right way. I guess that's my concern, is how do we do that?
Well, Kevin knows this. When this started, it was never intended to be a city facility. It was always going to be a county facility. We were looking at the old dump down here to site. We were looking at a pigeon hall. And Chesky came to me and said, well, that's not going anywhere. Let's donate some land in the industrial park for it. And he said, see if we can do it. And we did it. We picked up the ball, we did it, we got the grant money, we raised $2.1 million to put it together. But all along, I would say to Chesley, let's not put our name on there, because this thing needs to evolve into being a county facility. And I still believe that's the long-term solution. It's owned not by the local, Mount Pleasant Local Building Authority, at least in the city, for the bond payment, but you get some economy of scale, because what I asked Jack this last week on this very point, I said, what percentage of the people that use the facility are from the county and what the city? He said, probably 70% county, 30% city. That tells me it's a county facility, Rondi. So I think, in terms of long-term planning, that ought to be on the table. Sit down at a work session with the county commission.
The other option is there a possibility of getting, and I know we've been down this road before, the possibility of extending the tax increment or getting that in place again?
Well, it's difficult.
That was the school district.
Well, I'm reluctant to comment so much.
Yes.
That's a hard nut to crack.
We don't have to talk about that right now, but I'm just kind of thinking.
Well, all I'm saying is to get economy of scale, you've got a pretty good thing to say, hey, look, the city raised all the money. We went through the committee impact board, we got grants from the Eccles, we got all this stuff we put together. Here's a physical facility plan that's really a great arena. We now want to, as it evolved, we think what should happen now is there's only $160,000 left on the bond. You've got a facility that's worth probably $3.5 million, and the bond payment's only $160,000. You take over the bond payment, you get all the revenues, and it's a county facility. I'm just suggesting that maybe something to put on the table for long term.
I like to do like Spanish Fork, just have a citizen come in and want to donate $25 million.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Anyway, we got long term, we got short term, but for right now, if we can deal with the issue of the equipment, and if you want to boost that up from 30,000 to 45, you think about those two issues.
You want to make a decision on that tonight? We'll wait until you get the estimate.
You can't make a decision on that.
You can on the...
Just the work session, and you can't make any decisions.
Well, I think that...
You just bring those ideas to the next board meeting. And then make it official.
What we needed to see is what it's going to cost to continue.
I'll make sure well in advance of the second Tuesday of April you have that with you, so you can analyze it, and so if you want to take action on it at the next regular board meeting on the second Tuesday of April, you'd have the numbers to work through. And like Jack says, if they don't look right to you, you sit down and go with you.
You know, there's a ton of things yet to be done, and nobody mentioned the fact that a decent kitchen would be a good added feature to it, which would open up a lot more catered events and different things like that. It's got a lot of potential, but it just takes a lot of money to get it where it needs to be.
And that's the point, Kevin. We stepped in 2008, we stepped in and did it, we put it together. Now maybe we need to get some economy to scale and bring in a larger entity to do it. It's like when we created the Monument Heritage area. We had the Main Street Committee here. We had a National Trust came out. So you guys have got a great story to tell about the Monument Pioneers, but you got to get some economy of scale. So we go to Bennett, we get a bill drafted, and we involve six counties. That's how we got $44 million done in projects, because you got a broader base to work from. It's like somebody came to me the other day and said, well, can you help me get a grant? I said, well, what do you want it for? I said, well, I want to put an IHOP in town. I said, well, the first thing you got to do is triple your population, have a 10 times bigger population, because nobody's going to give you a franchise in this population base. So anyway, probably the time has come to get some economy scale to make it work.
At least start those discussions, I think.
Yeah. 18 months goes by really fast.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it'll be a year and a half to be gone.
And I told Jack, Jack says, well, I'm 70 years old. I said, I'm 83. What are you complaining about?
Well, they have brought it to what the level it's at right now, and it's got a lot of potential to even do more.
But, oh, absolutely. It's a great facility out there right now. I mean, for just a rodeo, growing up for rodeo, but the indoor stuff.
Well, eventually we're going to face the fact that more than likely the rodeo grounds is going to have to go down there eventually. We don't have sufficient parking and whatnot out there. I mean, that's another bridge we're going to have to cross in the future.
Kevin's point on one was that we set aside the land down there to have the indoor green, the outdoor arena, all down there as a complex, crunches in a complex, and then that's probably the most valuable commercial real estate in the city to sell that for commercial development. That's been the plan for a long time, hasn't it, Kevin?
Well, that would generate some funds.
Where would you put the arena down there now?
Well, we've got 5 acres down there.
Right, east of the parking lot. Right, even straight east from there, the existing parking lot.
It's been set aside for a whole.
Yeah, that's been in the works.
Between runway and the...
Yeah, between the runway
and north end.
You'd have your parking already there. You could go as far south as you needed to accommodate livestock facilities and whatnot.
So again, you'd be sharing the same parking lot, the indoor and the outdoor.
Yeah, that would be tempting. So I was going to bring that up earlier, but we might need to look at how much are we paying to maintain this arena out here right now?
No, we're not paying nothing to maintain it. Well, the only thing we do is put out a little money on the fourth, but then the revenue pays it back. That arena out there is basically paid for itself, but it's to the point where it needs some major work on bleachers and all that kind of stuff. So it needs a substantial amount of upgrading. But yeah, I hate to put a lot of money into it because we simply don't have, right now we've been able to use our neighbors to park contestants on their property, and we can almost facilitate the people that actually come to watch the rodeo, but that's it. You know, you can't.
Before we put money in debt, we ought to look maybe getting the money and building our arena down below.
The problem with that is there's not a lot of grant money available to do those kinds of things.
What have we got, Kevin? We ended in the designated fund, we have $175,000 to help do that and sell the land. Remember, we still hold on.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. If the cost of property was comparable to what it is in Utah County, we'd have $1 million sitting out there. And as it is, we'd do good to get $100,000 out of it.
We got the $175,000 we have to sell the 1.3 acres. But like he says, We one time when we looked at it, Kevin, to move it down there and do new bleachers, I think it was like $500,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can believe
what, that. Remind me that, to say that again, where did the $175,000 come from?
We designated 1.3 acres to the Groves.
Depot,
that's right. And we set that aside to be used eventually. At that time, we were trying to sell the rest of that land where the arena is and generate enough money from that.
To move it.
Hard questions and hard decisions.
Yeah. Well, if the county takes over the arena, how does that affect us being able to use? Would we have to split the property down there and have a city facility for the rodeo arena and then a separate facility for the Contoy?
You just have an agreement with them like we do with just a usage agreement with them, just like you do other kind of facilities. And we don't want to talk about that, it's premature, because you know, we don't want to get opposition, but I'm just suggesting maybe we shouldn't even brought it up tonight, but eventually, because Justin said, what about the long run? The long run is, I think if I interpret Justin correctly, he said, I don't know where the money's going to come from.
Yeah.
Be able to sustain it at the level that they're paying out a Blackhawk. I think that's what you were saying to us, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I think as far as this budget thing to solve that issue at this point, you mentioned that Jack hadn't asked for any more additional money. He just felt like that after looking at this situation that they need a raise.
Well, I also felt like if you lose people, then maybe that you say, well, if you don't do that, I'll kick in the equipment.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be a factor. I mean, it would have to be.
You might say, look, you do that.
He, you know, this is between us, but he looked at that and he could see the potential of it 9 years ago. He could see the potential down there. And he felt like, you know, it's an interest that him and Galen have had forever, and they wanted to see what they could do with it. And they've done it.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't discussed this with Jack. And I know Suzanne Dean well enough, so we're not going to worry about a negative twist. But I felt like if we boosted up to 45, I might be able to go to Jack and say, look, Jack, we boosted up to 45. It'd be a lot simpler if we just incorporated and use your equipment.
Well, I think we recognize something needs to be done. At least I do. And you guys have sat in on these meetings, and we made a considerable investment down there, and considerable improvements. You hate to see it just go away, whether it goes to the county or whether. Deteriorates because of lack of attention.
I'll never forget this guy. I think you remember. I had him down there many times when we were trying to put this together. At that time, I was looking at all these scenarios. He said, Mark, quit trying to give it away. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I know it's a real valuable resource. It's right up there with the swimming pool. And there isn't other communities that would have had the amount of property to donate to a situation like that. No way. And a money man to get enough money to put it together in the beginning. Mon, it wouldn't be there.
Well, I can tell you right now, if you were to go to CIB and ask for half loan on a pool or that down there.
Say it again, what?
If you went to CIB today and asked for half grant, half loan on either one of those facilities, they'd say, no, we'll give you all a loan.
The timing is right to do it.
Yeah.
And the building authority does own two great facilities. The building authority owns the equestrian center and the aquatic center. I don't think we could ever replicate that.
Well, I was going to say, don't those numbers affect the city's position to borrow money, and it adds to their bottom line as far as
assets. I'm down here saying, I can't think a little town like Mount Pleasant can have an aquatic center and an equestrian center. How'd you guys get the money? I got a call from Paramore. He said, how'd you guys develop an equestrian center, and where'd you get the money to do that? Did you get a big tax increase? I said, well, it's a trademark. I'm not going to review it.
But that's the easy part, Mon, easy part compared to O&M on an annual basis.
That's where we're at right now. We're right now at O&M, and you know that very well with some of these people at Snow College. It's not so much getting money to build them, it's how do you keep them up for 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and he brought up the fact that we were paying $25 to rent stalls 20 years ago when Michael Kids was in it. So, I mean, we can raise our rates. We could do that. And I think we need to probably look at that.
What's the total number of stalls that we'll have when we get this?
Well, we've got right down there right now, you've got close to 200 stalls. So Jack told me.
When we're done?
When we're done.
The covered ones rent more than the others.
But that's covered and outdoor. The bulk of those are outdoor.
Whew. Well, make motion. I think that you're going to have to raise rates. You're going to have to raise, you know, when we went through the swimming pool deal here.
Yeah.
And they went sideways over a dollar.
Yeah.
You know? But if we're going to have these kind of facilities,
Well, it's not the locals that use it. Not, they're not the ones renting the stalls. It's the ones that travel.
It's the ones that come in, yeah.
They're used to paying that kind of money.
Well, if you got, and we've got a good arena, it's a good place to hold an event out there.
It is.
I think everybody that goes out there, you know, and Jack and get in, they run it, yeah. Too.
Well, it doesn't have a negative impact on any of its neighbors. I mean, it's just out there by itself, and
other than the traffic, I have a few neighbors.
Yeah, about the traffic. but really, it's pretty low.
It is.
Impact. You know, what's out of South Lake? The complaint materials on down by traffic.
Both directions, but people coming too fast down the road. Horse trailers, lots of trucks.
A real good speed bump to stop that.
We used to have enough potholes on that road that people couldn't speed on it. You know,
we'd have solved our problem and create another one, don't we?
I tell you though, real good speed bumps, they slow people down when that front infield rusher is coming right up from underneath that truck.
Well, I said the same thing about Fifth West. They didn't need to do anything with it because people had to slow down to drive down.
This is kind of off point. What happened to that flashing sign up at the top of Second South? It used to be there. Didn't there used to be a flashing speed limit sign there?
I think that's limited in individual hit.
Oh, was it? I thought that was on Fifth somewhere.
There was one there too.
This is going to come in a minute to hit that sign up one second.
Was it an accident?
Yeah.
Well, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay. On a second?
I'll second.
On
okay.
Favor?
Yeah, I'm in favor. I'm hungry. Oh, yeah.
Man, so.
We got plenty of food to talk.
Piece of
yeah.
That's it.